Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
He is wise, all-knowing Charlie Giroux joining us in Philadelphia again.
Dom, my mom is so happy that you got that last part in.
Well, good. I'm glad. Well, I read it just as the script came from Dan. Exactly right. That's a long. We got to cut that down.
No, don't expose the secrets. Come on.
We don't have enough screen.
Just as she wrote it.
We don't have enough screen space here to say
all
that.
Wise, all knowing.
Yeah. All right. So Charlie, I did not know about this. You can tell us if you did. That President Trump, and I'm not advising to do this, but you can tell me if there's an upside. He is going to have, when he's nominated, the voters that put him over the top, as I understand it, are going to be the alternate electors from the swing states that people remember back to that in 2020. And at one point, you were one of them. Is that the Trump plan, first of all, as you understand it?
I don't know that to be the case, Dom. I've heard rumors and only that to that effect. But yes, I was one of the alternate electors. I do not want to hear the term fake because we weren't fake in any way.
Okay. I believe that's happening. So first of all, before we get to that part in 2020, Charlie, why do this? What would be the upside? Is there an upside to doing this?
You know, the convention, Dom, is going to be the best one I've ever attended. And as you may know, I have been to 13 national conventions, more than any other Pennsylvanian. This is going to show the enthusiasm gap between the Democrats who are, you know, crawling on their bellies right now and the Republicans who are running to the victory flag. You know, any element that they want to introduce, I'm sure, is well thought out. I mean, Susie Wiles and Chris Lacevito and the people that are putting this convention together have, from every vantage point, done it methodically, seriously, thoughtfully. And so, you know, whatever they're thinking, I'm sure is a good thought.
All right. Well, look, it is going to be exciting when you have Amber Rose speaking there, for example. You know, a convention I thought was well put together to the point of making it exciting, Charlie? The Clinton convention, where they had the seventh grader who was corrected by Dan Quayle about spelling potato up there speaking. That's exactly what I would do. I mean, you can't go any better than that. Kid was an all-time speaker, seventh grader. But, Charlie...
You're tough, Dom, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So, Charlie, this term, fake electors, and I believe some people may have even gone to jail. Tell me what the idea was. You were an alternate here in Pennsylvania. What it was an alternate elector? Why was that in place?
Because there still were several, and I underline several, serious cases winding their way through the courts, both at the state and federal level. And we were concerned that if a court came back and said the Biden slate of electors is not legitimate, that Pennsylvania would be without the ability to cast its electoral votes. So we met, cast our votes for President Trump and for Vice President Pence, and said that if a court of competent jurisdiction ruled that the Biden electors were not eligible to cast their votes in the Electoral College, that we cast ours in their place.
How often does that happen? We know in 2020, I know it goes back in Hawaii where the Kennedys outmaneuvered,
1960.
Yeah, outmaneuvered Richard Nixon by hook or by crook, I guess, and did something like this. Is it rare for this to happen, this alternate electors thing?
Well, yeah, it is rare because most elections aren't razor-thin majorities. I mean, we've had one in our lifetime, maybe two if you count the 1960 election, but then you've got to flop back to 1876 to find one that was so razor-thin. So, yeah, it is rare.
So it's not unlawful. It's not unprecedented. But I have a gathering stack of stuff here for the media, Charlie, going to go down Broadway with this. And they'll probably be calling upon people like you and others. What's the best response to this? It's cogent and quick and can put a rest to it. What do you say?
Oh, I think there are two. One, you know, it's very clear that the media wants to do two things. They want to take as much attention away from Joe Biden and his problems as they possibly can, and they want to take as much attention off this great convention that they can. So they're going to look for these little rabbit trails to run down and, oh, look over here and look over there, instead of seeing the big picture of America standing up and saying, this is what we want our country to be. This is who we want for our president, et cetera. The other two things, Dom, is I read one report where it says the GOP had hand-picked delegates. Well, the delegates are elected by the people. I wasn't hand-picked by anybody. I got 45,000 votes in order to become a delegate to the convention. So, you know, I'm not sure what some of these media reports are trying to say.
Yeah, we're going to expect an awful lot of that. So give us a preview of the convention. You talked about excitement. I agree. That'll be the case. The VP choice. Let's talk the VP choice. First, do you have any? I've gone back and forth on several. We know that the first thing is do no harm. That always is a worryment. You know, although, Charlie, I think the Trump people this time around are much more buttoned up than in 2020, that are actually running the ground game and all that stuff. So who do you like?
They really are, Don. They really are.
Who do you like as VP?
And I'm with you. I've had several that I really like, and, you know, both or all of the folks that I could see as a vice presidential candidate have their own individual strengths and own individual weaknesses. I personally kind of like Governor Burgum from North Dakota because he's managerial. If, God forbid, something were to happen to President Trump, he could take over immediately. There's no OJT for him. He's a successful business person, much like Donald Trump. His success came in the private sector. I also like Tim Scott, not only because of his ethnic background and the fact that he's a black American, but because he has a great story. I like those. As you know, I like to think I have one as well. And I think an appeal to the minority communities, both black, Asian, and Latino, is really important. And Donald Trump is doing so well with those constituencies that anything that can enhance that, I think, is going to be valuable to him on his ticket.
Now, the first thing I would look at, Charlie, though, because, and I know Trump is, or I believe he is, Trump has done a masterful job on abortion. The platform is slimmed down. There's no national right-to-life bill. There's none of that. He's not going to get beaten on that. Several of these guys, though, have taken a pretty tough stance in the past based upon present day on that. How big of a consideration is that?
Well, the Republican Party has historically been and continues to be a pro-life party. We don't think that America is made better by having more abortions. The Democrats do. They basically believe that you should have an abortion at any time for any reason paid for by the taxpayers. That's a radical position.
Let me challenge you, though. If any of these guys at any point recently, particularly, had said no exceptions except the life of the mother, I'm telling you, if I'm sitting there, I have to pause a long time. I can't endorse that guy as a VP because I know what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, that's a choice that President Trump has to make. He's made his position on the issue very clear, and I think it's a considered one and a good one politically. It's not one that I necessarily think is the best public policy, but it's a winning position politically.
We're talking with Charlie Giroux. So, Charlie, we got a text from Dave McCormick, or at least his peep. I think it was Dave, about the new polling, several polls out today. Casey McCormick. McCormick closing. He's got a lot of money. And part of the reason is the Biden factor, I think, is seeping onto other Democrats slightly at this point. How do you see McCormick, Casey?
I think that Dave McCormick's going to win. Of the candidates that we've put up against Bob Casey through the years, he clearly is the best one by a country mile. If you look at his resume, it is stellar. But more important, if you look at him as a man, Don, he is the kind of person you want in the U.S. Senate. Frankly, I'd jump into a foxhole with Dave McCormick any day of the week. And I think you're right. The polling is now suggesting that there's a Biden effect, which is a trickle-down ballot, which is going to be very, very negative to Democrat, Senate, and congressional candidates. And frankly, I'm very happy about that.
Josh Shapiro, to me, is his superpower is he's the great masquerader. He's a progressive, without a doubt. He does want to get things done and all that. I think the strongest ticket for that's reasonable for Democrats is Harris, Josh Shapiro, to win Pennsylvania. How much of a chance does he give them a winning Pennsylvania if he's the VP nominee?
Well, he gives them a zero chance of winning nationally. And that's what they're going to look at, because to be very blunt, putting a Jew on the Democrat ticket right now is going to cause an uproar in that party, because there is virulent anti-Semitism running up and down the leadership and the rank and file of the Democrat Party right now. It's why Joe Biden was so frightened about Michigan. You know, there is just outrageous anti-Semitism. So I just can't imagine that the Democrats are going to say, let's put a Jewish candidate on a national ticket.
Wow. Let's probe that a little bit. So if it's Harris, who is it that helps them? Who should we be aware of that would give them the best shot?
Well, let me tell you, if it's Harris, they need a lot of help, Tom.
Well, of course.
She, as you know, was a disaster as a candidate among Democrats. The Democrats don't like her.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not sure who can rescue that lifeboat and pull it back up to the surface. But, you know, you've got a lot of folks around the country. You know, I think Gavin Newsom wants to be at the top of that ticket. Whether or not he'd take a spot as number two, I don't know. I really don't. I do think it would be fun, though, Dominic, if Gavin Newsom were on the ticket, to watch the back channel conversations, because, as you know, his ex-wife is now betrothed to Donald J. Trump Jr.
Well, yes, we've talked to her about that, and she says she was always a conservative, and he sort of was, too. That's...
All right, well. Kind of, sort of, Don.
Exactly. Well, Charlie, great stuff. And Dan's marking it down now, though. We definitely like to get you on several times from the convention as we see what happens day to day.
I'm happy to do it, Dom. I just want that introduction to be put in cement now.
All right, we got it.
One other quick thing. I missed you in Delaware County the other week where we were supposed to speak together. So I hope we get a chance to soon.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.